Political power, however, had traditionally been concentrated in the East, and there were long-standing grievances on the part of many people in Western Virginia against the eastern parts of the states. They believed in the West that they were underrepresented and overtaxed. And when Virginia voted to secede on April 17, 1861, the delegates to that secession convention from west of the Alleghenies decided to secede from Virginia, or from the Confederacy, however you want to look at it. Voters in the area supported that position. And in June and July, Union armies won a series of small victories in West Virginia, at Philippi, at Cheat Mountain, Carrick's Ford, and elsewhere, that effectively removed any major Confederate military presence from the area and opened the way for Union control. Two conventions representing 34 trans-Allegheny counties were held at Wheeling, the second of which voted on August 2, 1861, to set itself up as the legitimate government of the entire state of Virginia. The convention next called for a constitutional convention to meet in November for the purpose of creating a new state to be called Kanawha, after a major river in the area. It was later decided to change the name to West Virginia, but initially it was going to be called Kanawha. The boundaries of the new state to be were drawn arbitrarily to include 48 counties. Now, that's more counties than were represented in these meetings at Wheeling, but those are the boundaries that the group in Wheeling drew, 48 counties. It's significant that fully half the potential population of this proposed state was entirely unrepresented at Wheeling. A popular referendum in which only those who took a loyalty oath to the Union could vote ratified the work of the convention. In May 1862, a Unionist legislature that theoretically represented all of the state of Virginia, but in fact represented only part of the Trans-Allegheny region, approved the creation of a new state. This technically satisfied the clause in the U.S. Constitution, it's in Article 4, Section 3, that says no state can be formed within the boundaries of an existing state without the consent of the existing state's legislature. So that takes care of that, at least in theory here. The United States Congress admitted West Virginia to the Union in 1863, and the new state consisted of 50 counties, not the 34 originally, not the 48 of the expanded view, but 50. Two more were added so that the Baltimore and Ohio Railroad, which dipped down into Virginia just a little bit, those two counties where the B&O dipped down were added to West Virginia so that the B&O would now be entirely in loyal United States territory. Those counties, even today, a lot of the people in them wish they were still in Virginia rather than in West Virginia. Probably about half of the people in this new state were actually pro-Confederacy and would have preferred to stay in the Confederacy. West Virginia sent 25,000 men to the Union Army. It sent 15,000 to the Confederate Army. The most important among those 15,000 was Stonewall Jackson, who was born in what is now West Virginia. Through very different processes then, the border states were kept out of the Confederacy. And while there remained tensions, and in Kentucky and Missouri at least, open guerrilla warfare after the decisions were made to stay in the Union, there was no realistic chance after the autumn of 1861 that any of these border states would cast their lot officially with the Confederacy. And by retaining these states, the Union achieved an enormous amount. It held strategic access, as we've said before, to the major rivers in the West. We'll talk more about this later, to the Cumberland and the Tennessee and the Mississippi. That would be very important. They also controlled the United States and its people, military resources greater than those of the Upper South states that had seceded after Lincoln's call for 75,000 volunteers, draft animals, areas of iron production, salt production, food production, and so forth. Enormous resources in those areas in the border states. Overall, retention of the border states must be counted a major Union strategic success that far overshadowed results on battlefields such as First Manassas or Wilson's Creek or the other smaller engagements in 1861. Lincoln's government had achieved this victory, this strategic victory, that would dramatically enhance Northern efforts to defeat the Confederacy. The first striking military success along the North's road to eventual victory would come in the Western Theater, and that will be the subject of our next lecture.